television, and internet, publications abound. And the danger is that these things can affect all of God's children, but especially the men who are Christ's representatives. So, this morning, Pastor Dwayne Thompson from Calvary Chapel, Three Crosses of Las Cruces, is going to share with us how to overcome this pitfall. Let's welcome Dwayne.
I think they do that on purpose, huh? Just so you can see me pull that down, huh? I mean, no, I kind of shrink down as I go. You know, Pastor Bob was saying, I was given money as a subject. And I want you to know, I chose this subject. I was like, you know, and all these other pastors are letting me do that. They were just sitting back and watching me and say, he'll learn. And as I began to study it, I was thinking a month out, maybe Pastor Terry could do this. Or last week, or even up to last night, I'm thinking, is it too late? Because as I was studying this, it really convicted my heart. Because our society is so inundated with sex. You know, it's funny, I like to say at church, sex. And not at least with men, I thought it was going to be more exciting than that. But at church, you know, the cringe from just the mentioning the word, because what Satan has done, he's taken what God has made beautiful and twisted it. He doesn't create anything. You know that, right? He takes what God has made and twists it for evil. So just so you know, as I begin today's study, the excitement has kind of went out of this as God has dealt with my own heart. And I hope as we go through this, you know, we joke about it. And we got to be very careful about joking about sex, because we begin to think about sexual immorality, that we can easily go down the wrong road. I even see in the with Christian men, we begin to joke, and then you got to pull yourself back and say, you know what, that's the wrong direction. But before I begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. I praise you and I worship you, Father. I pray that your spirit would be poured out upon all these men this morning that came here to hear your voice, to take time out of their day, Saturday, from their family, so that they can lead their family, beginning with their own hearts, that you would change them, that you would help them take every thought captive, to filter the things that they bring into their heart through their eyes, Father. I pray, Lord, this morning that your word would be spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, the main text today is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. But I want to begin by, as we look at the world has been engulfed in this rising river of degeneration, of filth, with abandonment of virtue, abandonment of integrity, traditional marriage and family. Every day it seems to be worse than it was the day before. You guys know what is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. It's so twisted. We can get confused, even as Christians. And I look at today's society. How much more does America have to do to be like Sodom and Gomorrah? And I can't remember who said it, but he says, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Well, so that if you look at our society, that means his judgment is coming soon. If it already isn't. Now, I'm not going to go into different, well, this Katrina and all this was God's judgment. I have no clue. But what I do know is many times God judges us by allowing us to go into our wicked ways. For example, how many of you guys fear about your kids? I can't even let my daughters play in the yard without worrying about it. Is that not judgment right there? So many times it's different than what we think the judgment will be. We got to look for God. He's going to bring this great disaster. But a great disaster is the wickedness that is engulfing this country. And now the wickedness that's within the church. And I think Corinthians is perfect as I've been teaching through it. I thought that's pretty cool because I'm already teaching through it this this year. But the church at Corinth, if you looked at it from the outside, looked no different than the world. They had allowed corruption within the church. And matter of fact, Paul said many things that he saw in the church, the heathens don't even practice these things. Isn't that amazing? To see that many sexual, wicked things are practiced in the church that the world doesn't even practice. Well, as we see this wickedness saturating our world, it begins with us. Because many times I can get overwhelmed, maybe you too. What can one person do? And then it makes me look back at what God can do with one person. Look what God did with each individual, each of the apostles. Each different people we see, evangelists, pastors. But it begins with our own relationship, with our own heart. And I think it's now as men, it's even more important as men, because God has given us this great honor and this great privilege to lead, first of all, our wives and then our families. Now, many of you may say, well, I'm not married. Well, it begins before you get married. Sexual immorality can go right into your marriage. If you're into that now, it can affect your marriage that you're not even entered into yet. Can you imagine that? You haven't even gotten married, and what you're doing now is having a bad effect, taking you down the wrong direction. You know, God has made our mind amazing minds. But what I don't like is when that video player, you know, hits rewind and it plays these stuff you don't even know is in there. Have you ever had that happen to you? You have this thought come across your mind. Or even this movie that you've seen. It's like at the wrong time for you, but at the perfect time to entice you. So as we begin, it's overcoming, I've titled mine, Overcoming the Pitfall of Sex. And I want to begin with reading today's verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And I'm going to read it in two different versions, the ESV and then the NLT, just to give you a little more insight on that. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the ways of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now in the NLT it says, the temptation in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. And He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you can endure. Now that's real interesting. No matter what temptation, as we're speaking of sexual temptation, God always makes a way out. But we don't always choose to take that, do we? We complain, why did God let me go that direction? He says, I gave you that opportunity, that exit to go out. This morning, as we talk about overcoming pitfalls of sex, in order to understand the pitfalls of sex, we must first understand who created it, which was God, and why did He create sex? What was the purpose of it? In order to know why, how it's used wrongly, we need to know how God created it to be used rightly and righteously, don't we? So that's where I want to begin. So I'm going to give you several things why God created sex. The first purpose God created sex is probably obvious. As the fancy word is, procreation. To populate the earth. From the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, and I'll just read them to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And He said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. God commanded them. Now, this is one you'd be writing down. God commanded man and woman to have sex. And you're going to write that one down and read it to your wife. See, God said we have to. Okay, He did. But that's one purpose, to populate the earth. Now, the next one is the one that I believe many of us men miss. He created sex for the purpose of intimacy. You know, does that usually come to mind? Intimacy. Yeah, honey, you can write this one down. It's for intimacy. I'm not saying make excuses. But He did create sex to express love to your wife. So we need to look at it and the way I treat my wife in the act of sex, am I showing love and affection to her? Now, God has given us this desire for sexual relations. He instilled that in it. So when you begin to get this thought of, you know, it's wrong, I shouldn't think about desiring my wife. Inside the context of marriage, there's nothing wrong with that. And as we look at the Old Testament, there's one book in the Bible that almost the whole book is about sex, intimacy with your wife. And you guys are going to want to write this one down. Song of Songs. I keep calling it Songs of Solomon, which most of us know it by. But as we look at that, it's got detailed. Matter of fact, many of the Hebrews have put, analogies, allegories. And they won't let the young boys read it to their 12 because it's so detailed about the relation between a man and a woman. Again, I stress the word in marriage because it always talks about in the context of marriage. So I want to read a couple of those to you. So if you're under 12, cover your ears. Or your dad will have to explain it to you later. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 13. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lies between my breasts. Chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is inviting. Your cheeks are like rosy pomegranates behind your veil. Your neck is as beautiful as the Tower of David, jeweled with the shields of thousands of heroes. Your breasts are like two fawns, twin fawns of gazelle grazing among the lilies. What we see, it's very explicit, you know. Honey, I got a book to read to you. You might tell her that when you go back. But what we see is a celebration of the sexual union between a man and a woman, a joyful celebration. What God has created and God's design within the context of marriage. A celebration. And many times when we even speak of sex, we cringe. And do you understand why we cringe when we talk about sex? It's because we've allowed Satan in our lives, and in our world, in our culture, to distort the true meaning of sex. It's a pure... God created it and He says, everything I made is good. He was talking about sex. It's good. He didn't give it to you just so you have to struggle with it. Because, being honest with you, if of all sins, men struggle with sexual immorality, don't we? The eyes. I remember the first 2 years of marriage, I got in trouble so much. Because I was always searching with my... Before I knew Christ. I was always observing. Looking. And my wife's like, you're married now. I'm like... I know, but it was a habit. You realize sometimes we do things out of habits, bad habits. And we don't realize what that does to our wives. Like, I'm not good enough. And really, that's what we're saying. The third thing God created sex for was companionship. Now, let me read this verse to you. Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 1. All night long on my bed, I long for my lover. I long for him, but he never appeared. We see this woman is longing for her lover, for her spouse. She missed his companionship. Companionship was expressed within the context of sex in the bed with her husband. It's a time of unity, companionship. And these couple things we look at like, well, I never thought about sex of intimacy, you know, or companionship. But how about this one? This is the one you've been waiting for. Physical pleasure. And then get a cheer for that. Yeah, all right. I'm too early. Okay, God did create it for physical pleasure. You're probably waiting. I'm setting you up is what you're thinking. I'm not setting you up. I mean, it's exciting. It's for pleasure. Last but not least, it was given for pleasure in the marriage. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 2. Now, I'm pulling out the Song of Songs, but you can read that whole thing. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. These feelings, these longings, this sexual longing, they just didn't just happen. God is giving those emotions to you. And I know as a man, we know about emotions. We may not show it, like crying. I mean, men are not supposed to cry. Isn't that right? And then I have to go back because when I get mad, I cry, and it's weird. It's weird. So if you see me crying, just don't talk to me. I'm just saying. When we think about emotions, God has given us all these emotions. He's given us this desire and longing. And believe me, we all know our wives complete us. And those that are not married yet, wait for that woman that God is going to bring you. Because I realize over, you know, don't tell my wife, but I really need her. I'm incomplete. I forget so many things that she reminds me of too. It's like, you ever forget something? And she's like, yeah, I know. They don't forget anything. But I realize is when you get married, God brings that person that's opposite of you. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that in relationships? I mean, come on. My wife likes ice cream and chili. I mean, that's just plain wrong, isn't it? The stuff she eats, candy with chili in it, that's just not right. But I see how God has brought us with different abilities together. He's blessed us because if it wasn't for my wife, first of all, I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be on the lake with that big boat that I wanted. That I need it. But He's given my wife is that financial one that holds me back. It's kind of funny because I always wait for my wife to say, just get it. It's like a little kid. You know, you get excited. Okay, she said yes. And then I get the toy. And I'm like, well, that's not as fun as I thought it was. A day. Anyway, let's go back to what I was talking about. God has given us the sex within the marriage for pleasure, to bless the man and the woman both. So there's nothing wrong with that at all. And the reason why I'm going through it this direction, we want to know what the purpose of sex is so we can understand how the world has distorted this wonderful, beautiful thing to the point where we can't even say the word. We can't say it in certain groups because we'll be embarrassed. Now, Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 1 through 9. He's telling the, you know, they're asking the question, is it better not to marry? Now, most of us have been designed, created by God to become married. There's a few that God has gifted. You realize to abstain from marriage is to be gifted in that area. And they're asking, is it more spiritual? This is what I love about Church of Corinth, because they always proclaim spiritual knowledge. I'm more spiritual than you. Is it more spiritual, asking Paul to remain unmarried? So a single guy can come up to a married guy and say, you know what? I'm more spiritual than you because I can control myself. But 99% of us cannot. And Paul tells us here in chapter 7, if you cannot control your sexual desires outside of the marriage, it's better for you to be married. Actually, it's only verses 1 through 2. He says, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, is it good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman? But because of temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. It's better for you to be married than to burn with lust and desire. And as we go through today's study, you see how even looking upon a woman, lusting is a sin in the heart. If you lack self-control, now listen to this. Do you lack self-control, restraint when it comes to sex? Okay, well, I've never engaged in sex. Have you looked upon a woman? I love how they do this on the Way of the Master. Have you ever looked upon a woman and lusted? Well, you see how many guys turn their head down like, yeah. No, man, I've never seen a woman that caused me to lust. Then you're probably meant not to be married. But the rest of us, we have that attraction. Now, sex, like any other gift, can be misused. God has given us this gift of sex as a blessing. But the tendency throughout the centuries is we succumb to abusing sex. We're pulled by the appetites of sex outside of the marriage. And this day's culture is confusing me. So many within the church are not even getting married. Let's just test drive this baby. I mean, we'll try it out, honey, if it doesn't work. You know? And Christians are saying, they're moving in together and saying it's okay. Do you see a problem with that? Well, if you don't, as I go through here today, you should. If you're living with someone and you're not married to them, then you're sinning against God. You're sinning first against your own flesh. But in essence, you're sinning against God. That's where all sin goes back to. You're sinning against God. So let's look at now, what is sexual immorality? We see that in the times we're living in, everything is so perverted and inverted. Again, what is good is called bad. What is bad is called good. So we look at sexual immorality. What is sexual immorality? It's got so, this is what got me, because it goes so many different directions in sexual immorality. But I'm going to begin with a few, beginning with adultery. I'm going to see what God says, what sexual immorality is. Because again, God created sex, so it goes against His law, His design. The first one is adultery. This is involved of someone that's married that has a relationship outside of that. You know, many times I think it has to be the sexual act, but you realize it's not just that. Confiding in someone else besides your wife, deep personal things, is the same thing. Oh no, it's okay. Because you know what? That opens the door to a lot of things. She doesn't understand me, but you do. No, she's just not married to you. She doesn't have to see you 24/7 and know how you really are. It's kind of like dating. It's funny because women should realize this. That's the best it gets. Because we put on the best. Come on, when you want to date your wife now, or maybe you're with a girlfriend now, you don't show them the worst. It's kind of like when you say I do, they have their ideas. You do everything she says. And then when she says I do, you're like, all right, man, now I can show her who I really am. You're a pig, man. I can't believe it. Who is this? And we look at adultery. God makes this very clear in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. He says, you shall not commit adultery. Relationship, sex with outside of the marriage, adultery. It's pretty clear. Is that any more need to be said about that? It says, you shall not commit adultery. Now, Jesus did have some more to say about that. The teachers of the law, they believed it was wrong to commit adultery. But they were always talking about the physical act. But they didn't apply the law to the heart. All that stems from our heart. Jesus explained that it is possible to commit adultery by not even doing the act, by looking upon the person. You know what? Nowadays, to be honest with you, you don't even need a person. You got a smartphone? Most of us got smartphones. It's a cool thing, right? Well, I tell you what, that thing is a sexual trap, man. If I didn't use it so much, I'd throw it away. Matter of fact, yesterday I wanted to, as I was trying to study. It's amazing when you're trying to serve God how that phone will ring. No one calls me until I'm going to study. But we see that looking upon a woman, lusting, looking at magazines, and we'll talk a little bit about pornography. Satan has used these things to draw us from what sex is originally designed for. Do you realize if you involve yourself in the pornography, or even look it upon women in the wrong way, you putting your future wife in a position, in a state where she'll never be able to meet your expectations. It's kind of interesting because they say those models on the magazines, you know how beautiful they are? Even though they're beautiful, they still airbrush them. They don't even look like that. So then you're trying to cause your wife or your future wife, your girlfriend, this is what I expect of you. It will never happen. It sets you up for failure. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 to 28. I'm supposed to be done by 11:30, right? Where's Charlie at? You know, Pastor Bob ate into my time, so I might not be able to give you the full counsel of God today, just so you know, it's not my fault. We just pray for time management here. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's a matter of the heart. We must consider that. What we look at. I mean, there's so much on television. You know, I'm mature enough, and I've said this before and I still do it. We need to take this in consideration. I can go to a rated R movie. It's only cursing. It's only... We become so used to it, it doesn't bother you. Have you noticed that about yourself? These things can flash across the screen and it doesn't bother you. A sexual scene. But I tell you what, if your kid comes in the room, Does that change your attitude? Maybe that's the way you should gauge what you're looking at. Will this offend my kids? Well, you don't do it, but I can. What in the world is that teaching your kids? I can sin, but you can't because, I don't know. What's the reason? There's no reason behind it. We may not be able to control every passing or fleeting thought. You can't control that woman that walks past you. And this is amazing in church too. They wear their shirts cut down. And I don't know if I could say this, Mike, Matt, we were talking about it, is this appropriate? But as I was looking up the word trap, it draws you into a trap. And Christian women can trap men also. They may not engage in anything, but then in our mind, I called it, as I looked up the word trap, didn't I looked this up. This is not something I created. It says booby trap. Now, I thought it was funny, but in reality, you can make it light of it, but it's funny. I thought it was funny. I was debating where to say it. But we see that it does entrap you. Your mind begins to go where it should not be. And we need to be talking to our wives, to be talking to our children, because we've talked to some teens in the church, and they're barely developing, and they got them cut down to here. And then you want to go talk to the parent, and you're talking to the mom, and she's the same way. And what do you say? Hey, your daughter shouldn't be dressing that way, and probably you shouldn't be either. But it would help if, I'm not telling you to, you need to be very tactful. Honey, that it looks very, you know, be careful the way you say it. That is probably inappropriate. Remember, you're setting an example for our daughters. Maybe you don't have daughters, maybe you don't have children, but you're setting an example for other people's children. And remember, we're coming to church to be blessed, to be encouraged. We don't need that struggle in the church. But again, as we go back to the church of Corinth, we see that in the church of Corinth. If you guys ever study 1 Corinthians, they are inundated with sexual immorality. And you know what amazes me? They were celebrating a young man sleeping with his stepmom. They're like, we're so free in Christ, we allow this. I'm like, dude, you're messed up. That's immorality. Let's move on to the next one. Oh, here, let me read you a quotation from Carson. He says, imagination is a God-given gift, but if it is fed dirt by the eye, it will be dirty. All sin, not the least sexual sin, begins with the imagination. Therefore, what feeds the imagination is of maximum importance in the pursuit of the kingdom of righteousness. Our desire is to seek to be holy, to be like Jesus Christ. Our imagination, we need to take every thought captive, don't we? Let's move on to the next one, fornication. And this is the one, it's just, none is greater than the other, but we see a lot of that in our society today. It's the act of people that are not married. They figure, well, we're not married, so we can have all the sex we want. We're not in the marriage thing. But we realize God created sex only within the context of marriage. And I was studying some verses, and really this act of sex and the relationship of marriage is really never fully experienced the way God wants it to be experienced unless you're truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I mean, married, yes, but without that relationship, you're still missing out. Because it's a picture of that relationship that we have between us and Christ. So sex only within the marriage. You even have, it's amazing in society today, girls, not only do they not try to get away from this sex, some may say, you know what, I'm going to remain a virgin. They are made fun of. You see how it's twisted now? You mean you haven't engaged in sex? Are you kidding me? What are you? Slow? Are you just not attractive? I want to keep pure the way God wants me to until I become married. The Bible writes in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. The first part of this is marriage must be held at a high esteem. God created it to bless us, not to be made fun of. And he says, fornicators, and the last part should get you, and adulterers, God will judge. You may get away with it now, but you will be dealt with. Because God is righteous. And he would deal with that sin. Now, Now you know what's wrong, what's right and what's wrong. You're like, okay, I'm going to leave here. I know what's right and what's wrong. But you already know that, don't you? Do you really think you need someone up here to tell you sexual immorality is wrong? Sex outside the marriage is wrong. We all know that. No matter how many times we say, this time it's okay. How do we overcome? That's what this conference is about. How do we overcome? Don't you hate it when someone says you're messed up in this area, but you have a solution? That drives me nuts. You're so messed up here, but I have no idea how to fix it. Well, here's how you fix it. Let's see what the Word of God says. We begin by looking at what is the strategy of Satan. We go back to the beginning of time. Satan attacked the mind, didn't he? He attacked the mind of Eve in the Garden of Eden. He started by attacking her mind, and this is made clear. Write this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. What we realize is the mind, the spirit, the soul, that he attacks that. It begins with the mind, as he can put those thoughts in your mind and from there into your heart. So we need to protect that. Now, the secret in fighting or avoiding sexual sin is to flee from temptation. You guys get that? Flee. Let me give you a good picture. When David, I'm amazed at this story, a young man, a woman throws herself at you. And I'm sure she was beautiful. Her husband was a rich dude. And normally they like beautiful women as trophies. So imagine this, a beautiful woman throws herself. She takes her clothes. She didn't just throw herself. She takes her clothes off and says, all right, now be honest. You'd be like, okay, you know, God, what could I do? I mean, what can you do, really? Joseph. David probably happened to him too, but he didn't do the same thing. David didn't run. See the difference. Joseph, when he saw this, he ran. Well, you see, I'm glad I brought up David by mistake. David actually did not flee, did he? He gazed upon that. And it went from his mind into his heart, and then he acted upon it. You see the sequence it goes? You can't help when, I'm sure, let's just say David couldn't help that he was hanging out when he should have been in battle, but she came across him. Well, go downstairs. Go run away from it. Don't stand there and just, I mean, what do you think's going to happen? I'm not going to get a lustful thought. I mean, I'm just looking. I mean, here's what I love. God created woman beautiful. Therefore, I must look upon her. I've heard so many people tell me that excuse. Well, God made women beautiful. I can't help but look at them. Yeah, you can. Look and look away. If they come in front of you, look away. Now, I'm going to give you some things as you flee. But you also need to put up fences. In other words, put things in place to help you defend. You look at fence as a defense against sexual sin. If there's areas that you struggle with, if it's magazines, if it's pornography, there's protections out there. You can begin with accountability with a brother in Christ. Begin with that. Put things in place to protect yourself from that temptation. To make sin less accessible. I mean, for example, like she threw herself at Joseph. You know, put yourself, if you can, in a position where you're not around that woman. For example, I'm going to avoid that woman because every time I come around her, she gives me that look. You know, that look? Kind of reminds me of a story. I love stories. This guy was in the shower. I hope you guys appreciate my humor, but he gets out. You know, he's all naked and all, as you usually are in the shower. As he gets out, he's drying off. His wife is all, you know, she got up out of bed and she hasn't showered. She's carrying the laundry and she swings, walks by the door and goes, woohoo! I mean, she just walked by the door. You see the difference between the men and the women? The men can get excited like that. So we need to put defenses up to protect ourselves, don't we? And the woman's thinking, what the heck's wrong with this guy? But that is the difference between men and women. We're easily enticed with what we see. Okay, the second thing we need to do is avoid flirting with or giving compliments to people of the other sex. You got to be very careful about that because, wow, he complimented me. My husband never does that. You got to be very careful about that. We need to make sure our words are absolutely pure. Number two, avoid bad company. Now, this is key for men. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be hanging out with those guys that are always having these coarse jokes. Always look. Have you? Well, you guys have experienced it, have you? Men that are always looking at women. Go by a construction site. It's amazing the thoughts that, and the words that come out of these guys' mouths. Be friends with people that help you, that will support you combat sexual immorality. Be friends with godly men who will keep you accountable. I'm going to hang out with this sinful guy because I know he's not going to keep me accountable. I can have a little flexibility there. Sin is like a virus. You guys all know that. It's not going to just, okay, I can dabble in sin. It's going to infect you and everyone that you come in contact with. Do not spend, number three, do not spend time alone with the opposite sex. And the fourth one that I want to wrap this study up with is guard your heart. Sexual sin does not begin with sexual intercourse. It starts with a desire, a look, a thought, and grows into the act. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 to 29. Jesus says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." So you got to be very careful. And I'm not telling you to go out and pluck your eye out. But don't be looking at things that you know that's going to entice you. "Well, God, I don't know how it happened. I mean, I was looking at the magazine with pretty pictures in it, and suddenly I'm enticed. The thought went through my head." Look at how to fix your house or how to make your wife happy or something. But don't be looking at stuff that will entice you. And you guys, you don't even need to go through a list because you know what they are. What it is, protect yourself from that. Now, today, I want to look at today and the wickedness of the heart. There's a whole industry out there dedicated to pornography. And I was looking at some stats, and I love to put stats. I couldn't get them, find all of them. But apparently more money's invested in pornography than anything. I mean, in the NFL and all these other sports put together, there's more money made in pornography. That just shows you how susceptible we are to this sin. And one thing I want you to know, you think, well, pornography is just a little thing. You realize the step from pornography to child pornography, you're like, "Oh, that'll never happen. Sin is never satisfied." Now, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but when you look at this, when a person does this, I can see how they can get there. When you begin to dabble in sexual immorality and sexual sin, it can lead to places you never, ever thought you would be. You thought, "I will never find myself there." But the more you dabble in it, you'll be in a place that it's going to, especially as a Christian, it's going to tear you up from the inside out. So don't take sin of lusting lightly. You need to deal with it. It's a slippery slope that's going to take you down the road that gets worse and worse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life." How do you guard your heart? Proverbs 6, verse 20 to 25. This is very important because Calvary teach this. "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the correction and discipline are the way of life, keeping you from immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty. Let her captivate you with her eyes." Keeping that as I end here, the Word of God, you need to be writing that upon your heart. And you need to be reading it and studying it for yourself and ask God, "Write your words upon my heart." And it's really about, begins with a relationship with Christ, doesn't it? If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you're going to struggle with that sin. Christ overcame sin. Only through a relationship with Him is that possible. I'm going to give you six steps here of victory over this sin. So if you want to write these down, and I'll give you a couple verses. Confess your sin to God. Now that begins, those of you here, and will have an opportunity to accept Christ. If you don't know Christ, that's where it begins with it, repenting of your sins. And as a Christian, when you do these things that you know are sexual and immoral, repent. When you carry them with you, it destroys you. God says, repent, and I am faithful to forgive you. That's what I love. And he takes that. Have you noticed that when you finally say, God, forgive me, it's gone. And learn from that. Number two, ask God to cleanse you, renew you, transform your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm sorry, the first one was 1 John 1, 9. Number two, ask God to cleanse, renew, transform your minds. Romans 12, 2. He's cleansed your mind. Number three, ask God to fill your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Understand the proper meaning of sex and rely on your spouse alone to meet that need. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. So as I end, remember and know what road sexual immorality will take you. Sex is a beautiful thing within the marriage. And these verses really caused me to examine my heart. And when you do stuff like pornography, those that have you married or your future wife, you don't realize what you're doing to your wife. I've talked to women. Matter of fact, last week her husband's in pornography. He didn't see a problem with it. And you look at her tears coming down her face. Because there's nothing she can do to meet that standard. Matter of fact, it's wicked, it's evil anyway. Take these verses with you and just begin to search God's Word and ask Him to search your heart. And if you guys are struggling with that today, please get with someone. And we'll also have opportunity to pray. And ask Him, you know what? I mean, you know what? You can sit right there now and say, God, forgive me of these sins. Help me overcome these. You will never overcome it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. With that, you want me to end with a word of prayer? Let's end with a word of prayer.